Dear God, thank you for everything you give us. The creator of the world, the author of our salvation, the plan that you had for us was so good, but yet through all this suffering we don't see it. So we have to look to you, to our light, so that we can gain a glimpse of your glory and be able to say it was worth it all. In thy holy name, amen. Before we get started, just want to let you know my brother's on vacation in Cuba, and his wife. Denny and Nona are on vacation in Hawaii, as well as Chantel and Larry. How would you plan a perfect vacation? No stress, not too hot, not too cold, no family squabbles. That ever happen on vacation? No luggage, nobody gets hurt or sick, only beautiful scenery, delicious food, thrilling music, and no work. How would you describe the perfect vacation just the way you want it to be? Do you know what I'm really describing? Time without suffering. What is suffering? Definition for suffering says to experience the adverse effect of something unpleasant, to feel psychological or physical pain, stress, grief, or discomfort. If you look around you, and in the world, you will come to a conclusion that there is a whole lot of suffering going on in the world and in our lives too. You want some examples? One huge one is Japan. Another big one out there is Libya and all the Middle East countries. They're suffering tremendously in our own United States, which has huge blessings. Ecclesiastes 2:23 says, "For all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest." Yep, there's a lot of suffering going on, and it's promised to us by the Bible. Harry Truman said, "The reward for suffering is experience." Helen Keller said, "Although there's a whole lot of suffering in the world, there are those who overcome it." Deuteronomy 8:3, "So he, God, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, that you may not know, nor did your father know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." Sometimes God allows suffering for men to show them their dependence on him. The Israelites were dependent on the manna. So you see, so many good things are born under the midst of suffering. How about those who achieve great success? Do you see behind the scenes all their struggles? No, you just see their success, not their sufferings. John 21:18. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you did not wish to go." This was Jesus talking to Peter, telling him basically that he was going to, at the end of his life, he was going to be crucified just like Jesus was. How would you like it if the Lord said, "You're going to die a certain way when you die"? Peter lived a long time after this, but he knew when he was going to die, he would be crucified. Did that stop Peter from doing work for Christ? Or did Peter have peace in spite of knowing that? Peter had great peace. I want to tell you the story of one of my daughters named Tricia when she had her blood drawn. She had a thyroid condition, and that was pointed out by her aunt. And she was told, "On Monday, you're going to have your blood drawn." So all weekend, she fussed about it. She threw little fits in agony over it. On the way down to the office, she cried. She fussed. Finally, we had to drag her into the room, and she finally willingly put out her arm. And while the phlebotomist was swiping it and stuff, she was looking away, waiting for them to draw the blood. As they started to put the band-aid on after they drew the blood, she goes, "Ouch, I think that hurts." Well, her blood's already drawn, and it really didn't even hurt her. Poor Tricia was suffering greatly just from the thought of it. Where was the greatest suffering that Trisha experienced? In her mind. Matthew 24:9. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Acts 9:16. For I will show him, Paul, many things that he will suffer for my name's sake. Did Paul suffer a lot? He sure did. Did that discourage him from following Jesus? No, it didn't. Acts 14:22, Paul said, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, all that live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Wow, am I cheering you up? God had one son on earth without sin, but he has no sons on earth without suffering. So join the club. God is a loving parent and will only allow suffering to bring forth some good. All suffering that is measured out for the Christian will do some good, but while everyone in the world suffers, Christians and the lost suffer both, it is much easier to be a Christian. Think about it. The suffering of the lost is compounded because they don't have hope. If you don't have hope, your suffering really goes through the roof. Don't be afraid of suffering. There's a lot of joy in life. There's a lot of pleasure in life. There's a lot of good in life. Why do you notice the suffering? Because that is what stands out. Do you see life as a glass half full or half empty? A lot of it has to do with your attitude towards suffering. Hebrews 2:9-10 says, but we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. God is not expecting us to suffer as Jesus did. You can never suffer as much as Jesus did, so don't even volunteer. He has not called us to do that. He says, take my yoke upon you, because my burden is light. Because he suffered for us, he took our suffering for our sins, so that we don't have to suffer for our sins. Yes. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. God wants us to have cheer. He did it all for us. 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul says, I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. How can one be exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations? How can you be exceedingly joyful in all your tribulations? Abraham Lincoln, he was one of our favorite presidents. We remember him with having a good sense of humor, joyful, always did the right thing, it seemed like. Seemed always pleasant, but did he have sufferings? He had great sufferings. His mother died while he was young. His father died a little later while he was young. He had to work hard while growing up. He struggled to get an education. He ran for office and lost several times. He courted several girls that turned him down. The one he finally married had severe emotional problems. He lost 2 children while in the White House. He had incredible suffering. Joseph, in the Bible, incredible suffering. He had a lot of blessings in his youth, pampered son, but then he was betrayed. What hurt the most? That his brothers handled him roughly and threw him into a pit, or that his brothers would sell him to slavery? Prisoned, enslaved, mistreated for years. What was God doing through trials? He was chiseling and shaping and preparing him to save much life and to save the children of Israel. These are the 8 rules that I have for you, and you can write the Bible text that I have down to help you have a guide for suffering, because with all the suffering in this world, people are going to ask you, why is there so much suffering? Rule number one, every suffering or trial that you go through, God is going to use it some way, either to save you or to save others through you, or both. So whatever trials you go through, rejoice in what God will do for you. The man who fears suffering is already suffering from what he fears. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out that anxiety about suffering. How long did Jesus suffer before he died? He was betrayed on Thursday night. His suffering began at his betrayal. He died about 24 hours later. How long did he live? 33 years. How many days in a year? 365. How long was the suffering compared to the duration of his life? What percentage of his life was the last 24 hours? Very small. Jesus suffered for the sin that he saw. Jesus' suffering was more incredible than ours because he had the foresight of all the sin of humanity. The physical suffering is hardly enough to factor compared to the emotional suffering that Jesus went through being separated from his Father. He who knows how to suffer will enjoy much peace. Such a one is a conqueror of himself, the Lord of the world, a friend of Christ, and an heir of heaven. Rule number two, suffering prepares for holiness. Here's your text, 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice for a little while, if need be. You have been grieved by various trials, that the trying of your faith be much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It is in the fire of suffering that will bring forth godliness. 1 Peter 4:1-2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same thought, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer by human passions, but by the will of God. Hebrews 12:10. For they indeed disciplined us for a short time at their pleasure, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So why does God sometimes chasten us with suffering? Have you ever seen an eagle build a nest? They will take big sticks to form the base of it. Then they will take smaller sticks to fill it in. Then they will put leaves there. They will put rocks and sharp objects in the nest. They will put leaves on top of them and then down and softness. After a while, the babies are born. They don't want to leave that soft, cozy nest. They don't want to get up and fly. They just love their nest. But then the parents start to tear away that down and softness in the leaves, and the sharp rocks and the sticks make it uncomfortable, and the parents stop bringing them food. Then they become motivated to fly. Sometimes the Lord does that to make us fly. Have you ever gotten a medicine bottle that says shake well before using? That is what God does to us as well. He shakes us before we're usable. One reason God allows suffering, it reveals character. Rule number three, suffering reveals character. Luke 23:34 says, Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. During Christ's suffering on the cross, he revealed what was on his inside. Does suffering always make saints? No, that would be absurd. Sometimes suffering will make you a devil. What happens when the plague falls on the lost? Do they suddenly get converted? No, they curse God and repent not. Rule number three, suffering reveals character. Mark 15:39. The centurion who was watching Jesus suffer cried out, Truly, this man was the Son of God. What converted the Roman centurion and the thief on the cross? They saw how Christ conducted himself while he suffered. At the beginning, both thieves were mocking Jesus. But as time wore on, the one thief saw how Jesus conducted himself in his suffering. It touched his heart and brought about his conversion. Hopefully, when you read about how Jesus conducted himself in his suffering, it will have the same effect on you. Rule number 4. Suffering is an opportunity to witness. Acts 16:23-25. And when they lay many stripes upon them, because of preaching, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Having received such a charge, he cast them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into stocks. What makes a Christian different from someone else? How we behave through trials. That is the best opportunity for us to witness. We praise the Lord through our trials. Amen. Acts 16:25, the end of that. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The jailer was impressed and was converted by how they conducted themselves in their suffering. Moses, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and on, they all conducted themselves like Christ in their suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. Paul said, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." Paul bore in his body the physical evidence of witnessing for God. He was whipped, beat, and striped. Suffering is a great opportunity to witness. Matthew 25:35. Jesus said, "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Robbed me, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." When Christ comes and says to his sheep on the right side that are saved, what evidence does he identify those that are his? He says, "You have worked to relieve the suffering of the world." And that was an opportunity to witness. The parable of the Good Samaritan. He was robbed, beaten, and left for dead. Samaritan stopped to relieve his suffering. How do you think that man felt about Samaritans from then on? When we see Jesus lifting our suffering, does our attitude change about Christ? Rule number 5. Suffering produces patience. Have you ever prayed for patience? You might be praying for suffering. James 1:2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Know ye that the testing of your faith produces patience?" James 5:10. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord as suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who are steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have not seen the purpose of the Lord. Lo, the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Mainly when we think about Job and the suffering of Job, the boils, the pain, losing all his money, losing all his children, losing all his possessions, losing all his friends, and we say, why not? In a few weeks, God heals him and blesses him, and in the end, Job has twice as much and eternal life. When we think of being Job, we are afraid about those short times of terrible suffering and forget those hundreds of years of blessings. So the good side of suffering is that it doesn't last forever. You know there is an end to it and there is a purpose to it, and compared to eternity, how long do Christians suffer? Do the math. You can't. Our time and suffering versus eternity is not calculable. Does anyone want to be Job? I want to be Job in the kingdom. Have the faith of Job, wouldn't you? Romans 5:3. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us. Jesus says, if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Do you believe that? Yes, we do. Do you want to be an overcomer? Then maybe you need to adjust your idea about trials and suffering. Welcome your suffering and your trials. You say, Lord, help me learn my lesson you have for me. Rule number 6. Suffering is easier to do together. The Bible says, as a church, we bear one another's burdens. 1 Peter 5:9. Speaking of the devil, it says, resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. We all have similar trials. The Bible says these trials are common to man. And when someone else gets a victory, we can say, I can share in that victory too. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Hebrews 13:3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. We need to bear each other's burdens. Be an encouragement to our fellow man. Sometimes we get this devilish, selfish attitude. Better them than me. Too bad it's happening to them. Said by someone in Haiti. A bad day in the U.S. was better than a good day in Haiti, even before the earthquake. We need to send our love, help, care, prayers for them in Japan that got this terrible earthquake and radiation. Bear our brothers' burdens. Mourn for those who mourn. Colossians 4:18. Grace be with you all. Remember my chains, Paul says. Don't forget that I was in prison. Jesus said that when we go to those in prison, we are going to him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, it is infinitely easier to suffer with others than it is to suffer alone. Jesus said, I am with you always. We really never have to suffer alone, do we? Rule number 7. When you suffer for Christ, it is a privilege. You are sharing in his sufferings. Acts 5:41. After the disciples were beaten, they departed, rejoicing in the fact that they were worthy to suffer shame for Christ. Do you rejoice when you are persecuted for Jesus? 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers with Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you will also share in that. Philippians 3:10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. When I read about that, I pray that I might have the attitude of Paul, that I might share in Christ's sufferings. Sometimes that's hard. If you are a parent and you have a child who has 20 pounds of suffering, and you could take 10 pounds of that suffering and share the suffering with them, would you take those 10 pounds of suffering of your child? Why would you do that and not leave all the suffering to them? Why would you do that? Because you love them. And that has to be the attitude of the Christian. We say, because we love them, because we love the Lord, I will suffer with you. Rule number 8. Trials show God's love for you. If you love your child, do you discipline them? Hebrews 12:15. Have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines him who he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. Let's put that in practical example. When our kids are little and they are out there sticking these little paper clips into electrical outlets and you slap their hand, what should they do? They should rejoice because you love them and you're trying to save them. You have to discipline them. Someone said that it lessens the blow when you draw nearer to the one that chastens you. When you draw near to the Lord, the chastisement is softer. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed every day. For the slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." This is 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, a house eternal in the heavens." We are going to take a vacation where there is no suffering, an eternal vacation, the perfect vacation. And you can plan that one right now, where you will have a new body, a 10-star hotel room. Have anybody been in a 10-star hotel room? There isn't any. They say the best hotels are in Dubai, and the highest-ranked one is a 7-star hotel room. And believe me, they're spendy. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:18, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." You know we can stand almost anything when you know it is not going to last and that you know what God has prepared for us. The Lord says, "I am chiseling or shaping you to fit in that spot above, the eternal glory." We need to say, what suffering is this? It is worth it all. The cross is a reminder that Jesus doesn't want us to suffer. He took our penalty so we can be with him. In closing, I want to read this little story. I remember reading the story of a police officer who was patrolling one night some years ago in northern England. He heard a quivering sob from a young child. Turning in the direction whence it came, he found in the shadows a little boy sitting on a doorstep. With tears rolling down his cheeks, the child whimpered, "I am lost, mister. Please take me home." The police officer sat down beside him and asked, "Do you know your address?" The boy shook his head. The officer began naming the streets, trying to help the child remember where he lived. When that failed, the officer repeated the names of the shops and the hotels in the area, but without success. Then he remembered that in the center of the city was a well-known church with a large white cross that towered on the steeple, high above the surrounding landscape. The cross was visible from where he and the child sat. The officer pointed to the cross and said, "Do you live anywhere near that?" The boy looked up for a moment, and then face immediately brightened. "Yes, that is it. Take me to the cross. I can find my way home from there." The cross still remains the starting place in the journey home for God's lost children. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart has rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for the sufferings you give us. Help us to be able to have the strength, the energy to stick with our fellow believers, encourage them, encourage those that do not believe in you, and point them to the cross, that through you they can have eternal life. We thank you for this plan that you had for us, where we can have all our sufferings relieved at the cross, and eventually come home with you for eternal life and never be separated again. In thy holy name, amen.